Get ready to innovate and organize your workspace with Metro. As the industry leader in storage and distribution systems, Metro is here to transform and organize your kitchen. With their premium solutions, you'll experience the Metro difference. Metro's sturdy and versatile shelving units, workstations, holding cabinets, and utility carts are designed to streamline operations and maximize your productivity. Don't settle for imitators. Metro products last longer and offer unparalleled quality and durability. Plus, the many customization options ensure that your space is tailored to your unique needs. Hey, we use them here at Walk and Talk. Say goodbye to chaos and hello to order with Metro Shelving. Visit their website or contact them today to start designing your perfect space. Metro Shelving, your partner in organization and efficiency. Hello, food fam. This is the Walk and Talk podcast, where you'll find the perfect blend of food, fun, and cooking knowledge. I'm your host, Carl Fiadini. Welcome to the number one food podcast in the country. We're podcasting from down in Miami. It's hot. It's spicy. And we're here for the F&B at Sea show. Thank you, Jackie Pressinger. First things first, last week, Lisa Leventhal was on the show. If you're into barbecue and whiskey, you missed a great episode. You should go back and listen. I urge you to go back and listen. All right, so Jeff cooked up some Creekstone Farm prime ribeyes last night. We're going to get into a little bit of that. More on that momentarily. Peninsula Food Service, we love you. Thank you for supplying the proteins for today's production. Chefs. In the Central Florida area, Peninsula is the largest distributor of Creekstone Farm beef in the Southeast USA. Complete with a fully staffed butcher shop to help you solve all your kitchen inconsistencies. Check out the Dry Age program. Dry Age, baby. Oh, my goodness. I love it. So we had an insightful and spirited episode about the food industry with the chef, Jennifer H. Booker, last night. And I gotta edit it. We gotta make sure that it's gonna come out proper and pretty and beautiful. So stay tuned for that. It's, when I say spirited, it's spirited, but very, very true. A lot of truths. All right.
It's the perception, right?
Totally.
Yeah.
Jeff, baby boy. There's a clutch. Pop it and go.
Yeah, this is day two, and it's going to be a little bit better than the actual experience last night because we were right in the middle of it. But it was wonderful as a chef to have other people that you know you respect, and they come in to taste your food. You know, Pooch sitting across the table from me right now, and Jennifer, and everybody that came in yesterday to showcase, you know, the cooking that you do. And you do it day in and day out, but I think for chefs, we have to step it up another level when we're talking with chefs, obviously. But it was a real hoot to have them in, and I wanted to do something really special. So the ribeyes, the Peninsula, you know, gave us to do with the prime. Oh, my God. Charred those. Really nice. I actually used a little wood chips in the grill. So as it caught fire, it smoke. So I had a little hint of smoke into it as well. But we did a more of a mojo kind of rub mojito. I had a little mint in there, but not as much as I would want to because I didn't want to take away from it. And then we had some other Latin spices because I want to feature me being from Miami and we're here literally in downtown Miami. And then we did elote with the PTSE sauce. We did mashed potatoes.
Put that stuff on everything.
Yeah, put that stuff on everything.
Yeah.
And then that's a good way to PC it. Yeah, thank you, man. I appreciate that. I couldn't think of that one last night.
That's
what I do. Yeah, I appreciate that. Anyways, we had mashed potatoes, sweet potatoes, but a white sweet potato. And then we did Chinese broccoli charred, which was really good.
I enjoyed everything. I really wanted to. Okay, so let me just back up.
Wait.
Hold on. Hold on.
The butter.
Well, hold on. Angel's Envy.
Yeah.
Okay. So there was bourbon flowing. Analyze
Lots
Craig.
Of bourbon flowing.
There was a lot of bourbon flowing. And you know, with all the chef brass that was here,
Yes. We also had a psalm
and
here.
Cress. And cress.
That's right.
And cress. And we had a psalm.
Wait, can you describe the butter that was not used? On these, can you do that? Can you give me?
Yeah, I can definitely describe. Yeah. I cannot believe I did.
Because you know what? I feel like it would be great.
I mean, I don't know, but go for it. It was. So I started off with the idea of doing bone marrow. And then to fortify or enrich it, I did whipped brie, butter, pickled onions, or shallots rather, to be specific, ouzu marmalade, tarragon, steak seasoning was in there too as well, lemon zest. So there was this whole layer of next levelness to go on top to finish off that. The funny thing is, you guys were having that conversation when you edited it. You were like, we had an hour conversation. You guys were eating. And I think Pooch and I were like, finally, you know, it's time to eat. I think it was like 10 o'clock or something like that. It was ridiculous. And then he and I were like sitting there eating. We're just about to get done with the last bite. I look over, I go, butter. And he goes, oh my God. I go, yeah. Well, dude, the ají verde was amazing. Put that stuff on everything. But I literally had to drench everything in it, even my corn, the elote. Yeah. It was so good, dude. I can't wait for you to have that out.
I've had the corn. The corn's fantastic. There was no way to do a podcast and me eat the corn last night. I can't do it, man. I can't.
He's got a certain...
Not enough floss.
Exactly. He has to make sure he's, you know, clean.
Or else I can't pronounce right.
For corn?
Not just for corn. Like, there's certain things when you have to like dig in to eat it, and you get stuff all over the
schmutz.
Place. It's a little barbaric.
It's barbaric. Now, go brush your teeth or go flush. We're trying to do a thing here. Like, I don't have time for all that. So I avoid certain foods before we actually podcast. Or also, I can't pronounce right.
Yeah, during the actual shoots on Thursdays, you normally during shoots on Thursdays, you actually end up having that happen too. You don't want to eat because we're either going to be doing the podcast now that we kind of switch things.
It's sort of, it's in line. It's in line with, when y'all are cooking and you don't eat and you're just tasting, but you don't eat.
You mean like last night when Pooch and I were cooking?
Yeah, right. So it's the same for me. When I'm working, I don't want to eat.
Yeah.
You know, other people can enjoy themselves. That's what it's there for. I'll eat mine cold like y'all do. It's just what it is. It's, you know, we're cut from that same cloth. Yeah.
And, you know, but here's the thing. We had all these people in yesterday, and it was the camaraderie that was really cool. It didn't matter. There's, four spots on the table because you had set up the table. There was not much there. And then, you know, Pooch and I ate at the counter. There's somebody who ate over there. We didn't care. That's what we are. You know, we just figured it out.
Yeah.
It was like family meal, actually.
Yeah, it was very much.
I called it. I said, I'd like to eat over the garbage can, please.
It was right over there.
It was right there. I call can. I'm eating over the can.
You were the closest to it.
Yeah. So, listen, people, audience, I don't know when I'm airing. I'm not sure how long it's going to take to air the episode we did, but I have to tell you. And we also had Chef Darren over here
from the Henry and his son.
Mm-hmm. And I have to tell you, it was very, very, hot.
It was insightful, spirited,
very spirited is a nice way to put it, but like truths and you know,
it's perception, bro.
Yeah. And I don't really want to drop too much. I just want people to know that, I think we did a lot yesterday.
I think what was talked about in the way it was talked about to bring it up, to bringing that out, I think needs to be brought out more, but in a different way. Pooch. Definitely.
In the monologue, and forgive me, dear friend, I didn't bring you up in the monologue. I'm sorry. So we have the Pooch Rivera.
Hello, everyone.
In studio.
Welcome from Miami.
Buenvenido, Miami.
Yeah. I think that that's what you get when you get multicultural and multi-generational people in a room that are all part of the industry, and it's blood, sweat, and tears, and people are going to express their pain, and people are going to express their story, and thank God we have an opportunity to a platform to do it on, you know? So I thought it was a beautiful thing. You know, it really was. I think that, you know, when alcohol is flowing and people are really feeling good, and not, I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean, I think it was great. It's issues that need to be hashed out, whether it be worldwide or whether it be in the industry. And I think it's great. I think that it needed to happen. I think it's going to bring this podcast to a different plateau. And I think that it's going to which I think is beautiful.
There was a lot of different. Let me just break it down. Pooch, you're from Louisiana. What's your background?
Experience the perfect blend of culinary delights, entertainment, and education on the number one food podcast in the country, Walk and Talk Podcast. Join host Carl Fiadini and the amazing chef Jeffrey Schlissel. Feed your appetite. Find this podcast on Apple and Spotify.
Father is Afro-Caribbean, I guess you would say, which is means, I guess, in this world, a black man. And my mother is a Creole, but my mother is a redhead, may they both rest in peace, but red hair, green-eyed Creole lady, you know? So to some people, that's a white lady. To some people, they know her heritage and where she came from. So, you know, it's been easy for me to chart the waters of the world, but also the culinary industry as racially ambiguous.
Right.
And it's hard for people to do that when they have a lot more melanin in their skin. And people just needed to express that yesterday.
Right. So what I'm trying, and Jeff, where are you? What's your background?
Where was I raised? Or what's like
your nationality? Your ancestry. Yeah.
Eastern European mostly.
Okay. You know, mine is Italian. And at the end of the day, Chef Jennifer, African-American gal, mm-hmm. from Atlanta, right? And the four of us and five with Chef Sharon, I mean, you really have different, very different cultures. And we kind of came together at the table and talked about some, you know, very real things. And
it was definitely real.
It was very raw and very real. And I'm excited to put it out. But before I put that out, I wanted to make sure I wanted to do this first to kind of, you know, to frame it, you know, because it was very,
it touched on a lot of hot topics.
There was definitely a lot of third rail
that normally don't get touched on these type of podcasts, which is right.
Yeah. So anyway, folks, stay tuned for that. And man, I tell you, Miami, is it beautiful here or what?
It's ridiculous.
Party in the club with the heaters on.
Yeah, man. I tell you, it's so different too. You know, we're from here. You know, Jeff and I. And I've been gone for 8 years now. I've been up in Tampa for 8 years.
Four and a half for me.
Nothing is the same.
Nope.
Nothing.
Nope. I mean, the building we're in right now, this didn't exist.
No.
I mean, there was four buildings I can tell that are still here.
Yes. Right. And, you know, we're on the 23rd, we're on the 23rd floor. To the right on the balcony, you have the bay.
You know, actually, across the street is Bay Street.
Yeah, I know.
Bayside. Yeah, Bayside.
And then to the left, you know,
Miami.
I can almost see the other coast from here. It's pretty crazy. But yeah, it's built up. It's gorgeous. I don't know.
I love it. You guys are from here.
Listen, I did this condo living. You know, like this, I've done this for several years, and I would never do it again. It was awesome in my 20s to be able to, you know, have that high rise experience and water be there. And it was really cool, but guess what? I would never do this again. Never in my life.
It's inspiring. I think it's great. It reminds me of my Latin culture. It reminds me of,
yeah, he did say that,
you know, it just reminds me of being a kid traveling to Venezuela, the architecture. My grandfather also did build, he was the major architect in Venezuela. So there's a lot of emotions that come with it. But it's inspiring. I mean, even we can just segue into the F&B at sea. I mean, it's crazy how cool it is to be in a tropical, spicy environment and see all these chefs and food people come together in a different environment than New Orleans. You know, and New Orleans is usually thought of as that culinary mecca, and I'm loving learning and seeing and enjoying new people, new culture, and new things. I think it's great. I can't wait to come back here, even just for a food tour.
Yeah, I think the way the actual event was done, because we've been through a lot, you know, my career through the ACF and having all the different national conventions and seeing, I've never been to the NRA show, but this show is really cool. Like, you know, you walk into Bacardi and it's just a guy sitting there with a girl to the right. They've got a couple different shakers, just different stuff, and they've got three drinks. And then behind there, there's a black curtain, a velvet black curtain. And then you go through that curtain and it opens up to this huge, massive room that's a speakeasy.
It's, I mean, a beautiful bar, the decor, everything they did inside of it was really great. Plus the DJ. It was really cool. I just want to say, you know, a shout out to Omar. That guy.
Yeah. He wanted to make sure the drinks were flowing.
He was what a gentleman.
Yeah. 100%. You know what? You felt like you were in his house.
Seriously.
Yeah. Represented their brand as well. Bacardi was a class act. The whole thing was a class act, but the Bacardi speakeasy.
But the palm trees they put in there, you felt like you were in like Miami. Vizcaya. You felt like you were in Vizcaya in the middle of Vizcaya walking through, and this was like just an open area, and people were just sitting there with a bar, and there was like that little car there that had
whoever,
the batteries.
Whoever came up with that, brilliant.
I think Jackie did.
Did she?
Yeah. Well, she spearheaded that whole the whole thing.
Well, if that was, we'll find out. But whoever did, if that
we
was
love
Jackie,
you, JP. We
yeah,
love you.
Seriously, JP.
But the whole thing, even the guys at Jack Daniel's that were representing that, how that particular marketing person, Vivian.
Look, he's using
my coaster right now.
Yeah. So
explain the coaster.
So we walk up and we're directed just going, oh, there's a bar, there's a bartender, we're going to go this way. And I didn't see to the left when you walked into this little area of Jack Daniels, they had like a fake library in the background behind the guy. And it was like, he had this white shirt on, these brown kind of overalls. You felt like you're being set back into the 1800s, 1900s. And all of a sudden you hear this, you want a coaster? And I was like,
is that the hottest dude drug on the scene?
I was like, what? And there's this dude sitting kind of like, he's got that old bartender or like, not bartender, but barber. And he's got the pencil,
the mustache,
the handlebars rather. And he's got his sleeves rolled up and he's got the same kind of, you know, over the, what do you call it?
The suspenders.
Thank you. Suspenders. And he's got this old machine that presses, and she looks at you, and they're already, hey, Carl, come on over here, and let me get you a coaster with your name on it. And before you know it, they took this thing out, and they're pressing it, and he goes, here you go. And we're like, oh, my God, this is amazing.
What a great, great
cool
piece of marketing.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, so you take that back with you, and it was just the experience. And there's a lot of things. Here, by the way, I don't know if you guys realize this. I heard this, like, as we were leaving. I guess Jackie was talking to us at Bacardi, and she goes, oh, if you want to order your ship, you can go to that right over there, and they will develop your ship for you. I'm like, huh?
I mean, that's why I put down a down payment.
Oh, you did? Okay.
One cool thing that I know, and we're going to go hit that today at the convention center, is the fact that you have the port of calls trying to promote themselves, which is so cool. So they're promoting themselves to the ship, you know, the big ship liners, to get them to go to their port of call, whether it be, I think they were saying some places in Yugoslavia, Croatia, all up and down the west coast of the United States, all throughout the Caribbean, just new and innovative places. So I think that's cool. I think it's just great that this is the second year they're doing it. And normally you think of conventions and food shows as really just trying to get people to buy things and be part of the new.
This had a different vibe.
It had a way different vibe. Something that I want to be a part of again and come back to. I avoid food shows. Were you at this? Were you at that? I'm like, no, I never go to that stuff. This is someplace I want to be again. It's just smart.
Let me just stop you. I'm going to stop you in your tracks. All right. First of all, your personality is tailor made to go to trade shows.
Well, thank you, sir.
Yeah. No, like you. Like the NRA show coming up, between, you know, you two, like we got to figure that out. All right. You need to represent at the trade shows because
see you, Chicago. I'll see you.
Could be both of us.
Or you mean the National Rifle?
I mean, I'm you know, whatever.
My personality is prone for that.
Yeah. It's good. But yeah, no, we need, and you know, Walk and Talk Media needs to really dive into the shows more. And we've come to a place, you know, in the timeline and the history of what we're doing where it's now, it's go time.
Yeah. I think one of the things that I saw with this particular one is the different vendors and what they were showcasing. And the one that really blew me out of the water, plant based.
Mm-hmm.
The one with the tuna and the salmon.
Oh, with Antonio.
Plant based caviar, which I thought was like how oxymoronic. And then you try it and you're like, holy moly, like this is so good. And yes, you know, and to be able to cater to everybody's needs and wants and dietary thoughts and all the new things, everything's posh and hip. I think it's just brilliant, brilliant, brilliant.
You've had me at Holy Moly.
Holy Moly.
Yeah.
Nobody had guacamole though.
You know what?
But you know what's funny? And that's a good segue because one of the guys we met was Pashi. Right?
Pashi. I'm so impressed with
that. That product. What an innovative product.
That's Antonio.
Yeah.
Right. Antonio, so you were thinking, wow. I'm talking about where it was the shrimp that was shaped like the shrimp and it was fried. The girl was from Mexico, reminded us of Fiona. No, that's where they had the poke bowl and they had edamame and some peppers standing up and they had salmon and tuna that were plant based. Mm-hmm. Then they had the shrimp, they had the chicken and they had the chicken wing or something else. But that shrimp, good Lord.
Listen, everyone, the whole world, I stand corrected. You're right, Jeff.
Yeah, that was for the first time. But no, that was really cool because here at me being a plant-based chef that I love that and what they are doing in that product, especially on the ships, it's a no-brainer. Why do you not have it? And then we had the guys from Kapow, or I think they changed their name, Future Foods, the ones with Rob Hodge that we went to. And then
they were really good too.
Yeah. Right, and then we met the Panachesia, which is, I just looked at her name. It was really cool. I didn't even know this was her name. Janessa. Is her name.
Janessa.
So Janessa is Italian. She went plant-based 15 years ago, and she couldn't find a cheese she liked, so she developed this. It's like five ingredients, and it's all like legit ingredients. It's not chemicals or anything like that, and it tastes just like, it's 24 months shelf-stabled Parmesan cheese. I'm like, what? So what did I do? I introduced Rob Hodge to her. They're actually showcasing today that they're going to do their plant-based raviolis utilizing her cheese. So they're cross-merchandising. So I think that's brilliant.
Amazing.
Yeah.
You know, when people think about cruise liners, and a lot of times, I know that this is a big port of call. New Orleans is a big port of call for cruise liners. And you always think of the people who are just there for the buffets, you know. And then when I think of buffets, I think of everyone can think of whatever buffet they want growing up and how they either loved it or hated it. And most of the time, people nowadays hate them. But the food on cruise ships, I mean, it's quickly turning into the food in restaurants on a cruise ship is the destination rather than the port of call. And they're getting now celebrity chefs to do things, themed restaurants, really, really smart. You know, it's just, you can be anywhere in the world and enjoy the same things that you would if you would go to Vegas, if you go to New York, if you go to New Orleans. It's brilliant. And it's really opened my eyes. And I'm sad to say that I've never been on a cruise before in my life.
I've been on one, and let me tell you something. It was I want to go again. It's one of those things that just when you want to go. Well, mind you, I don't want to go during June, July, August, September. It's not a good time of year. It's also hot. But you know, I went during January, and it was beautiful. You know, here in Florida, we have Tampa as a port of call. We have Cape Canaveral. We have Orlando, and then you have Miami. Guess where the cheapest place to get a cruise ticket from? It's Miami. Hands down, it's the cheapest way to get out into the Caribbean or anywhere. You do it through Miami. And it is literally, I can't believe the difference. It's ridiculous. But I think one of the things that really, when you're talking about buffets, is that live cooking demo. That guy from England that had come over in the German, the guy was from Germany. It was German manufacturing. That induction burner.
Oh, my gosh.
And it had its own built-in
battery system.
Yeah. That to me was just incredible. Not only that, the battery system, I'm talking about the ventilation where you can be cooking with a wok.
No hood necessary.
No hood anything.
Yeah, that was amazing.
I was like, and then he showed us like you can like customize the outlay of it, even though it's portable and you can literally break it down and move it and set it back up in less than a half an hour. You can put this like whatever you want in the front of it to cover it. That stuff is so innovative to me. And as a chef, we geek out on like new that's and one of the things was when I first caught my eye, they had these what looked like sushi on like spoons, and I thought it was an anti-griddle, and I'm like, no, that would freeze it. Why would you do that? It's not ice cream, that's sushi. Well, that drew me into having the conversation. Hey, what is that? He goes, oh, it goes from what, negative 3 to 160 degrees Celsius,
45 seconds
or something like that. And you're just like, wait, what? And he's like, yeah. And he showed us and he lifted out. He's like, literally one person can set this whole thing up. And I'm like, that's amazing. That to me is like the epitome of why we do these shows or come to these shows, because as chefs, we're always locked in our kitchen. We don't know what's going on.
And I would love to encourage any chef just to come to these things too, because the camaraderie and the people you meet, so cool. So cool. And I'm glad to be the guinea pig for you guys to be able to learn these things and not have been to all these shows. It's just amazing. I can't wait. I mean, I got a date with the sushi machine today, the sushi robot.
I missed that one. I don't know where I was for that.
I'll bring you to it.
Wait, I know you were talking.
I saw it, but it was a big crowd, but I'm going back. I went, told him I would come to see him today.
It's automatic.
But it's not it's what robotic. You're thinking by robot, though, but you put everything in and it just rolls the sushi for you, which yes, you want to see, you know, a lot of that when you sit at a sushi bar. And I don't think that it's for a sushi restaurant. It's more for like ghost kitchens and for cruise liners. So you're learning how to make things efficient in small spaces. And I think it's
for like Wawa and Bucky's.
Which could be actually, you're right. I never thought about that.
When you look at the skill level of a cook, right? When we're looking for someone to hire, you can teach certain things. There's a skill level that it needs to be added at a certain level. Sushi cooking or preparing is definitely a next level, and it deserves and it demands a different price point.
You know, it's so, you know, what's weird? Sushi chefs, they're in the kitchen. They're humping it like everybody else. It's absolutely different than other kitchen, like a regular kitchen.
We know somebody that used to work in one, and myself, I was trained by a corporate sushi chef for a big name chef, and I don't like to name it, but we did $1.5 million a year out of that sushi restaurant. It was ridiculous. And the space was the size of the table we're sitting at.
Yeah.
And I, you know,
they don't make any money, huh?
I didn't. I was training, so
no one makes money in this industry. Yeah. Even the big time people don't make.
Yeah, he was the corporate one, so he developed a menu and everything like that for the chef. But he was also Japanese trained, so
somebody's taking my $200 a dinner.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. But again, when you're trained at that level, when you have a robot that can do it, look at what you just did. You don't have to have somebody and pay somebody. You can actually have somebody there. Do the me's for that robot, I guess, and do it. So, yeah, there's certain things that the industry needs, especially because we can't find labor sometimes.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's a call to action to anyone when everyone has their predictions of like, you know, 5 years of no, everyone will be jobless because robots are going to take it. Maybe, but at the end of the day, you're always going to need a barber and you're always going to need a chef. You may not need a chef to make your fat burger, your pizza or sushi now. We saw that yesterday, or I did, but you're going to need a chef. I'm not going to have a robot cook my anniversary dinner. I'm not going to have a robot cook my birthday dinner.
Why not? You know,
those celebrate. Maybe we may end up doing that.
Where's the passion?
Meet George Jetson. Right. You know, but where's the passion of that? So I think you can drive people in this industry to not be gloom and doom and say, well, be the best chef that you can be, because someone's going to hire you to do their private, you know, birthday, anniversary, whatever it may be.
Well, picture it like this. The year is 2050, and there are no more chefs. You've been replaced.
We've taken the red pill, and we see what the Matrix looks like now.
You've been replaced by robots. At that point, every single, end-of-the-world robot movie ever made comes into fruition. But here's the deal. The actual chefs, their leaders, the generals, and they put their brigades together and they go back and they destroy the robots and we take back culinary.
Hollywood, if you're listening.
And I'm saying, I mean, you know.
But here's the thing about that. And this is coming from me because I've never thought about it until you made the comment about, the robot can do this and that. The problem is when you have a machine doing certain things, it only knows what it's told. The thing about being a human and listening and you're cooking and you hear the pan. I need to add more oil, or I need to turn that. There's not a definitive recipes. There's just basically instruction handbooks. But the thing is, you can follow the recipe to the T. But what happens when you don't have the product there and you don't have the knowledge to use that product? The machine doesn't know that I want to substitute X because, you know, Karen and Ken wants to substitute the entire menu. Well, then how that going to be built? Like when I used to work for the broadliner, we had to come in with Mary Chef. Mm-hmm. or the stuff that you use?
Well, you, instead of hiring kitchen staff and front of the house, you just hire IT people to handle that. They facilitate the...
And that's where I was going with this. That so Mary Chef is one of those, you got to think about when you go to Starbucks and they put in a thing, they zeroes the egg, sous vide eggs, they press a button and in whatever amount of time, bing, it's out and a go. How many times have you been at a restaurant, at a fast food or Starbucks, and you got something, you walked out the door and it's ice cold? The machine didn't know. The machine was told exactly what it did. It produced because that's what the technicians did. The person that took that out should have, is this done? Machine's never going to know if it's that hot.
I'm going to make a prediction that by 2050...
You're going to have Carl Fiadini and attack the robots?
Stop cutting me off. No, but here's the thing. By 2050, we are going to have the Geek Squad running all the kitchens. You know? That's what's going to happen.
2050, that's 25 more years, right?
Yeah, yeah. Probably less than that.
I'm thinking of my age.
I know. I had stinks, huh?
I like that would be Billy Joel's age at that point.
Uptown Girl. Mm. One thing that I was really impressed with as well is the Felicity, the you know the pasta brand where like I've never seen that before.
Felicetti.
Italia. They I was so impressed with that you don't have to boil the pasta. You soak it. It doesn't release any starches. It stays pliable and al dente.
Felicetti.
That and Pashi both blew me away. And I never thought that I would have met that and seen that at any food show. And
that pasta was really good.
Yeah, it was.
You want to talk about al dente?
Yeah, it was really good.
That had some
good. It can sit in a chafer for hours and not get mush. It's brilliant. It's brilliant. I mean, it brings back profit margins back to, where they need to be. For survival, basically, at the end of the day, in a restaurant industry.
So that group was actually a Cater Source when I was there in Austin, and that's why I knew who they were. And I was amazed when I met them in Austin, because I was like, as a caterer, as someone that's going to do private catering, I never would put pasta in a dish, because I knew in 20 minutes it would be manigotti if it was rigatoni. So I'm like, no, because the integrity, there's no way I'm going to do that. That is a game changer to me. Mm. When you have stuff like that, artichokes from Pashi, when you crack that thing open and you rip it open and it turned out to be...
That bean salad was amazing as well.
The vinegar add to, and it was just all shelf stable, ready to go.
I'm not going to lie. When I had that little bowl of pasta, it really made me happy. It's a true story. Like
The spice was there, everything. It just... And it was really good to have their authentic Italian chef literally handing you. Molto piace.
Molto piacere.
Attention chefs and food buyers. Are you looking to improve your proteins program with quality and service by the best in the beef business? Reach out to Peninsula Food Service. With 25 butchers on staff, their services will dazzle you and impress your dining guests. Peninsula is the largest Creekstone farm distributor in the Southeast United States. Let the gang at Peninsula Food Service cut your beef burdens away and ask about their dry-aged program. Look them up at peninsulafood.com.
Good times, guys. Good times. Always good to be here with y'all.
Oh, man.
Learn.
What about that waffle with the cookie stuff in it?
Oh, yes. Oh, God. Golden malted. I don't, they blew me away. I can't remember. Everything blew me away, but they blew me away too. I never thought that I would love waffles as much as what they showed me and how innovative and smart they do things. And yeah, it's just, it turns everything upside down and it's impressive. It was very impressive.
Man. That waffle was so good.
Sticky, but good.
You had that little ginger snap or whatever it was.
I have no idea.
I want one now, actually.
Well, it opens at 11.
Okay.
We will be there soon.
They can open
early. Bum rush the doors.
Yeah.
All right.
One cool thing I do too, I woke up to the smell of empanadas and I was like, well, somebody is in there. Is Jeff cooking? And then it was like, no, it's the place 23 floors below us.
Don't you just smell like that?
Yeah, that's just me. It's my cologne. But
But I smell like bacon. He smells like empanadas.
I sweat empanada. But yeah, it's so cool. Miami is such a diversity. City. Yeah, I love it so much, so much.
Well, sad that I have to leave.
Bienvenidos a Miami.
Yeah,
You know Bob Black from FSE. He's been coming there for 50 years. I've known him for 10 plus years because being in the industry on the sales side of things. And to see Mike from FSE, that was really good. For me, I just saw a lot of my old friends. Mm-hmm. The core group was there. And so it was fun. But for me, the innovation to it, forget all the liquor that was in the room, but the innovation to it was just spectacular.
We're gonna come back as often as they'll have us. And we came in as media, by the way. I mean, mm-hmm. and again, that yeah. it's this is the direction we're heading, and which is so exciting.
Because
we're going through a metamorphosis.
100%. Here's the thing now. I know two brands that were here. So I knew Golden Malt.
Golden Malted?
Yeah, the Golden Malted brand. I knew that brand because mm-hmm. I dealt with them. I knew Maple Leaf, so I knew three, sorry. And Bella Giosio was Scott. And right off the bat when I saw Scott, I'm like, oh, it's Scott. Everything else wasn't. So one of the questions I asked Jackie was, is it so much different from the hotel, restaurant, country club scene that they only focus certain groups to come into this? And she's like, well, you're press. You can ask that question. And I realized, oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
It's so cool. And by the way, that duck was pretty...
the new smoked duck. Yes. Yeah. Smoked duck breast.
Yeah. I mean, and it's also injected with a marination, so it's still... tender to the bite, and then the smoke is a natural smoke. It's not a liquid smoke. The other one that did a liquid smoke was Duburton, the one that we had the sausages, the Canadian bacon, and they had the maple. Yeah, they were from New Hampshire. And
yeah, they did a good job.
Yeah, that was wicked good. But
wicked cool.
They had slabs of bacon. I'm like, so how do you sell it to the cruise lines? We can sell it this way. We sell it this way. We sell it that way. And I'm like, and their product was an all natural product too. It was everything you wanted to hear and the different buzzwords too. And I've never seen that company before. So for me as a chef that was in the sales industry, seeing that, mm-hmm. I'm like, wow, there's a lot of opportunities out there. I mean, who knew that you're going to have plant-based cheese 24 months?
You know, maybe hopefully F&B at Sea could maybe send us on a cruise the week before so we can kind of learn more and have a better eye on what's going on and know from the restaurateur, from the consumer, from all of the above to come back and ask some questions.
I know he's been on a cruise.
Oh, yeah.
Or no, not been on a cruise.
I have never been on
a cruise. Have you been on a cruise?
Well, no, I actually have in Greece, but it was a cruise ship it was a ferry, but it was a cruise ship. So it was overnight. Gotcha. So I guess I have been on a cruise. But
not one out to have, right.
You're a ferry. Yeah. So
you've been on a cruise?
Been on several cruises, yeah.
All right. So I've only been on one. So yeah, I think we need to hook up with.
Cruises are terrific.
I want to know where we can get our ears pierced. I think Virgin, remember Virgin has somebody here that when you if you're press you get free ear piercing.
I think at the convention center.
Oh, and they got free tattooing too.
Yeah,
yeah, they had the what was that? The fake tattoos or temporary tattoos? The
henna.
I got the Walk and Talk logo on my shoulder.
Boy, you stopped when the guy was pressing. You're like, you have a Walk and Talk logo.
I was like wondering how we can do it. You know?
Yeah, I know. The wheels were turning. We walked in on that one.
Yeah,
that was so cool, though.
I mean, Pooch is using the coaster thing right now. It's cool. It's a little. I don't know.
I'm gonna throw one out there for Pooch because I think his favorite was Let's Have a Picnic. The manufacturer with the two young ladies.
I tell you what, Jessica and Allison over there. And it's because, you know, what two or three podcasts ago, we talked about facilitating for chefs and people who have recipes and products. And the ladies at Mighty Picnic were absolutely amazing. So smart, so innovative, and doing exactly what we're doing right now and trying to help other people make their products come alive. So these ladies are real smart. Check out Mighty Picnic, ladies and gentlemen. They are amazing. Absolutely amazing.
So what's the best part of the show for you, Pooch?
Utilizing my personality to build relationships. I've been always good at forging relationships, and that is really where I'm learning that I need to be, you know? But also learning that the new thing, you know, the reason I've never been on a cruise is because a cruise always had a stigma for me. You know, it's like, well, it's just a certain demographic that wants to go something. They want to eat a lot. They want to drink a lot. And I'm like, well, I live in New Orleans. It's a gluttonous city already. Like, why do I need to go on a boat and be stuck with all those people? And then I learned yesterday and going to learn more today that it's not that. And it's.
Well, wait a minute. It is that. However, It's like a floating city, right? So there's 100%. A lot of people on there, on the ship. But you're enjoying your own, things, you know, and, you know, 90% of the, you know, when you hit your port of call, 90% of the people get off the boat and, you know, go off and do whatever
excursions
and whatever little adventures that they're going to get into. And you're just out. Now, a good portion, 10% stay on the ship. They don't even get off. And because when everybody's gone, now you got everything for yourself. Right. So yeah, there's the buffets, there's the 24 hour eating. The last cruise I went on, I gained 15 pounds. And no joke, 15 pounds. It was like a 10 day.
14. I was not the chef.
No.
I want to let everyone know I was not.
It was not. But I gained a dude, it was bad. Yeah, because it's 24 hours. And for me, it was just.
Well, you only sleep like 2 hours, so you're back up at 3 o'clock anyways.
Eating, and they kept feeding me. And it was just, you know, whatever.
I can't wait to take my kids, you know, to be honest with you. I mean, that's one of the coolest things that I think that they're going to like, that they're at the age of now where they're going to love to do all the activities. It's monitored. It's safe.
When
you know,
when you're actually, when the ship is approaching the port, wherever you're going, it's cool. You feel like a pirate. You know what I mean? Cause it's like, and you see the, you know, the blue water. If you're here in the Caribbean, right, you get that beautiful aqua, awesome water, and you just kind of, your ship is approaching, and you see usually there's like some mountain in the background, or, you know, it's just
picturesque
cool village looking.
One of the cool things that people always tell me about taking a cruise out of New Orleans is being able to take the curves of the river and then opening up from the Mississippi River into the, you know, the mouth of the river into the
Gulf.
In the Gulf of Mexico. And like, that's just an amazing thing to see. Like, you know, it's how the pirates actually came up and down the river. You know, it's so historical, and it gives you goosebumps, they say, you know, because just.
And Pooch. I mean, listen. I mean.
Arr.
Pooch. The pirate.
Arr. Yeah. Arr.
All right. we have to. We actually got to wrap up.
Yeah, we got to check out. We've got to head on over.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of things to do.
We got to check out. We got to get a
check in.
Coffee. I need to get a freaking cafe con leche.
I need a coffee.
And on the way back, I need to pick up some
empanadas.
Some goodies here at the Cuban bakery for the fam. Yeah.
Nice.
Got to do what you got to do.
Thank you, Miami. Thank you, F&B at Sea. Thank you, Jackie.
Thank you, Peninsula.
Love y'all. Thank you, Peninsula.
Yes. That was a delicious meal last night.
Yeah, that was amazing. You brought chefs together, Peninsula. You brought chefs together, baby.
Bringing chefs together every single day. That's Peninsula Food Service. Chefs in the Central Florida area, make sure that you're going to call Peninsula Food Service. Oh, yeah. All right, so we're going to hit the road. We are out. Let me tell you about my friends over at Citrus America and their amazing juicing equipment. They're revolutionizing the way you enjoy freshly squeezed juice. They're at the best hotels, restaurants, and markets. Their mission is simple. Develop a unique consumer experience with on-premise juicing, deliver healthy taste options to clientele, and juice more faster. It's that easy. Citrus America supplies the highest quality juicing equipment and solutions in the industry. So whether you're a small business owner or a large corporation, Citrus America has the right juicing equipment for you. Find out more at citrusamerica.com.